Hello, everyone. Hello, Debbie.
Hi, Ivy.
Hi, well, thank you for taking out this time to, you know, have this conversation with me. For everyone out there, we would like to say hi. We would like to say, hope you're holding up this second leg of this lockdown. It's not as easy as we thought it would be, but, you know, we just have to keep on keeping up the high spirits and just keep going. All right, yeah, so fantastic. So I have the beautiful Debbie Akwara with me. That's like my guest speaker today. And I'm just going to tell you a little bit about her. She's Nigeria's premier customer experience expert consultant. She's the CX queen. That's her other name, right? Okay. She's the founder and principal CX consultant at Niche Customer Experience Consulting Firm, Nigeria's first boutique CX management consulting firm, and the convener of the CX West Africa Summit. Debbie has over 18 years of experience delivering CX success for local, pan-African, and international organizations across telecoms, financial services, technology, health, entertainment, religious, education, and manufacturing sectors. Debbie is a globally sought-after CX conference speaker and CX author of Customer Pulse Check and 10 Common CX Mistakes SMEs Make. Overall, Debbie is a CX entrepreneur, or should we say CXpreneur? That's the new name, yes. And is committed to creating, managing, committed to creating, managing products and services and platforms that will grow businesses across West Africa one customer experience at a time. Wow, Debbie, you've been fantastic in this field, and it's amazing, you know, to also have worked with you as well in this area. So, can you tell us more about you that is not in this bio? Because I know there's more about you.
That's not out there, right?
Yes.
Right. Okay. So my life is pretty basic. Beyond what I do now in the customer experience space, I'm a mom. That's my most treasured role. I have an adorable 9-year-old who's more than a mini me at this point. And I always say to people that if this is anything like what I was when I was young, I owe my parents a lot of apology.
I tell you.
I've really been a handful. So beyond the work I do in customer experience space, I like to also call myself a humanitarian. I think that's pretty much my core.
Yeah.
I'm very driven to help people, to empower people. And I mean, my approach to helping people really is about empowerment, because I believe that when you're armed with the right information, like besides the limits. So I also have an NGO actually called HELP, an acronym, so it's Help, Educate, Elevate the Less Privileged. And I'm very passionate about that, because the focus for the NGO pretty much is to drive sustainable socioeconomic development in low-income areas across Nigeria. Again, my passion is always Africa. Like, I'm so focused on that. So yeah, that's my life. I love food. I like to eat. That's why it's been so hard to lose weight. I love music. That's my life. I come with a family of we're 9. I'm number 5. So
you're the middle child. You're the middle child. Amazing. There's always something. I mean, there's a friend of mine who talked about being a middle child. I mean, she did this because she's also a middle child. So tell me about being a middle child. How's that been? Because I'm the first, so I don't have any clue about how it is to be a middle child. How has that been?
My case is a bit, it's not an ideal middle child scenario.
Okay.
And I'll say that because, so I lost my mom at a very early age. I was 10. I was 10 when my mom passed. And
sorry about you know, that.
I didn't have a very close relationship with my father. Who remarried stuff. So I basically tried to figure out life on my own. I wasn't quite close to family. So I was just basically a loner, just trying to figure out life on my own and carve my own path. didn't have too many friends, but you know, it was just clear what I wanted to do. Like, I just needed to be better than what I am now. Mm-hmm. Like, I recall my father at the time. So at some point, my dad wasn't for reasons best known to him, which I respect today, wasn't responsible for my tertiary education. But then I was right in the middle of two brothers who he was also paying their tuition. So it's not a perfect definition of a middle child, if you know what I mean, right? Yeah. And it was purely because, you know, so I'm not good with math. I suck at math. And I had to write jam. I had to write jam a number of times to get into school. And now my father wanted me to study law. So at the time at UniBank, which was the school I wanted to go to, the minimum math score you needed to get in your YA was a credit, the C6. And from moving, I finally moved from an F9 to a P7. And I was feeling so good with myself. And they told me, you have to have a C. I'm like, no, after 2 years, please, what other courses are available? You know, so I opted for theater arts at Delta State University. And my father was like, okay, so if you are old enough to take that kind of decision, I'm sure you are old enough to pay your tuition and sort yourself out. But I didn't want to have to go through that all over again. Like, okay. So it was just one day at a time going to school. I had there were jobs I was doing out of school weekends just to stay afloat. And then 4 years down the line. So it was not a perfect middle child scenario. Like, life hasn't been, it's just been me trying to figure stuff out and owning my destiny, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I had to know what it's like to, I don't know the same such thing as the middle child. I don't know what that means. In summary. Yeah.
Well, thank you for sharing that. You've been very, from what you've shared, you've been very resilient. It shows that you have grit, you know, regardless of anything, yes. And even following you and what you do, you've just been very focused and very resilient, you know. And so, I'm asking, how did you intentionally become this? Is this something that you, yes, of course, you knew you had to find your way in life, but is it something that you actually intentionally said, okay, you know what, I'm going to be really focused, I'm going to be very resilient? How did you become like how you are now? You know, because it's not something that people get into very easily. It's very easy to lose focus along the way in life, you know, regardless of the challenges that we've gone through. People allow challenges to actually dictate who they are. But I think you have also allowed it to dictate who you are, but in a positive way. So how did you maintain this mindset?
I've always been, for want of a better word, I've always been headstrong. Like, if I want something, I get it. And so I was one child that was tagged by my dad as the very, as the no good, for want of a better word, because like, what good can come out of you, right? So it was important to me to prove that I was the best thing that could have happened. It was very important to me to prove that I can be somebody, right? So I remember finishing secondary school at the time, and of course, finances were not really coming in. My father, there wasn't that much support. So I took on a job as, like, I've always, I don't know how to explain, thinking about it now, I've always been that person to take charge, to, like, I have this save the world attitude. I want to, if I have my way, I want to help everybody, right? But I feel that to be that, I have to be a certain type of person. So when I'm doing things, I see it as being bigger than me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So telling me that, you know, nothing good can come out of you, it's like, are you joking? I will prove you wrong, right?
Fantastic.
And that just gets me going. I remember then even my one of my aunts, who all of my siblings, when they get into school, she was very supportive. My mom was very big in real estate back in her village, in somewhere in Agbaro, in Delta State. And my sister was responsible for all of those things. So at some point, we just generally would tilt to her for financial support and things like that. And then she heard that I'm now in university. And she starts to get angry. And I'm like, I don't understand. Why are you getting angry? Do you understand? And I'm like, okay, I don't want a dime from you. Like, I'm that kind of person. I was like, you know what? I don't want a dime from you. The next time you see me, I will be done with university. And I kid you not, that was the next time. She's like, she saw me And then, so when she found, and to be honest, thinking about it now, that's what actually happened. After that encounter, I cut off from her. And the next time she saw me, I was done with university. And I got a job with a bank. So I was already working. I was a banker, right? So it was like, what do you have to say to that now? Like, I'm just that kind. Do you understand? I'm just that. Even my father used to say stuff like, what are you doing with theater art? What's that going to get you? Was like, my father was a banker, right? So when I finished school and then I got a job as a bank, he was speechless, right? Because, and I'm like, who's the joke on now? So and that's what really drives me. Like, if I feel this is what I need to do, even if the world is telling me no, because I know I have this history, because I know, I will make sure I get it done. And here's the thing, I don't do these things because I want the accolades for myself, right? I do these things because it empowers me to empower people.
Yeah.
Because when I have a chance to mentor and coach people now, and I do, ladies and guys, I don't discriminate. Mm-hmm. I tell you, look, my approach to coaching and mentoring is different. It's not the conservative way of sitting down, trying to make you navigate what you know. I'm like, are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. What is this going? Like, I'm very, it's hardcore. Like, wake up. Why are you sleeping? What's going on here? So my approach is completely different because I had the radical approach to it as well, I guess. So yeah, that's it. It's just thinking about it now. This is the first time you're talking about it, and I'm actually thinking back like, okay, that's the journey.
Yeah, that's amazing, because you know what I in my work, you know, what I try to do, and of course, you know, also being a woman empowerment, you know, advocate as well, I always believe it's important for us to go back. Go back, because then we can actually see our strengths. We can see exactly, that's how we discover our little girl and who we really are. You know, you touched on something that was very that really hits me. You know, and it's also something that affects a lot of women now. And that is the fact that women don't support women, right? So you went to your auntie, and instead of her supporting you, she, you know, was actually antagonistic towards that. And I always wonder, why is it that women don't, some new men, it's not general, because you have women who support. Why is it that the natural default of some women is not to support another woman to grow? And that's something that's affecting women even now, because that's the conversation you hear everywhere. Why do you think this happened? Why do you think your auntie didn't want to support you? What is that thing that causes that?
So in my case, it wasn't really because I was female, right? Mm-hmm. I don't think it was because of that. I'm thinking about it now, I just feel like it was the thing around, oh, you two want to progress, right? Like, she wanted that control. You know, I grew up in Warri, right? So between Warri and Agbar, it's like you want to, like, it's like you want your life now to be better type of thing, right? But so that's how I saw with her. It wasn't about me being male or female. And I'm not the kind of person that, for want a better word, I kiss ass. I will come and carry your bowl. And like, do you understand? I'm an independent person.
Yeah.
So I don't think so. But in terms of women supporting women generally, I mean in the workplace, can I be really honest with you, Ivy? I don't pay attention to those things. Mm. That's the truth. I don't pay attention to it. And I try not to categorize it that way. So I know that as women, we have women that definitely will fall into that bucket, right?
Yeah.
But my point is that there are deeper issues. And I'll tell you this from my work experience. I have two bosses, one male, one female. Mm. Now, of these bosses in my entire work history are my worst bosses ever. But they had something in common. And that was, they would withhold information from me because they want to be the ones to shine, right? Mm-hmm. Now, I think, and I'm saying this using both sexes, both gender, because there's a deeper conversation. I don't think it's about being a man or a woman. It's about the person.
The individual. Like,
what are your demons? What are you doing? Because there's a kind of thing. And I've also had bosses. Again, two people that I've worked with, I mean, you know, I'm one of them, I preach about her everywhere I go.
Okay. Yes, I do.
both a woman, right? And in my entire career, I have never, I call her the only boss, I describe her as the only boss I've worked with. Mm-hmm. She empowered, she encouraged, did everything, right? So I've had two experiences with two. I think it's the person. If you have insecurities, I can't help you there.
True.
So if you think I want to shine, and again, that's where it comes from. If I show you the way, then you now be the one to take the shine. But it's mm-hmm. really not about the shine. So if you are not a selfless, helpful person, you will have that problem, whether you are male or whether you are female.
Yeah.
It's just that, Chunik, I think point is if we were to take a statistics, the way men are configured, they're like easygoing, what's up, what's happening, yeah, mm-hmm. whatever, life goes on, let's hang out, still have beer. Right? But women, yeah. we are with a phone, right? Especially a dispensation where women are stepping, well, I'm sorry, I stand to be corrected, where we have men today who are becoming women, right? And women are stepping up to becoming men and taking responsibility in the interest of their homes and their children with education. You know, the roles are switching. So combined with this is what I'm protecting, and combined with I have to provide, you are highly likely to get that level of, I don't know if you call it defensiveness, I don't know another word, from a woman more than a man. You know what I mean?
Yes,
but
I
in
do.
General, from my work experience with both sexes, I think it cuts across both, and then it boils down to the person, the actual person, what they're doing. What they're doing. Because looking at it now, I have come to, I'm, and to your point, I am drawn to people that share and support. Because the truth is, I really don't have the time to watch what I say to you, how I say it, or like it's so emotionally draining too, because I want to be careful around you.
Yeah.
You know, I want to be careful though, I shouldn't say this, so I should carry my idea. And like, you know what? I shared it. And I guess that's the God, where the God factor comes in. These things come to me from most as the place of prayer and deep meditation. If I share it with you, you only know as far as I've shared with you.
Yeah.
So if you want to tell me, that's fine.
So that actually where you find the distinction between a boss and a leader. Because the leader means leads, knows the way, shows the way, and also is ready, you know, to let everyone around him or her grow. But then the bosses are always different. The bosses are more territorial, you know, they don't want anyone to, you know, to be seen as, you know, doing more than them. You know, And so, so that's why even as leaders or bosses or managers in organizations, it's important that they begin, they also have the training, the leadership training, to open up their mindsets, you know, to understand exactly how to lead, you know, their team members.
Yeah.
Yes. Wow, that's another conversation.
Yeah, thinking about it now, to your point, difference between a boss and a leader. Because I remember when I moved from banking to telecoms, right?
Yeah.
I already had a type of style I was exposed to. Mm. And then I go to an organization where I am building my direct reports to run things. And I have a philosophy that if my team cannot function when I am absent, then I have failed as a leader.
Exactly.
That is the kind of mindset that I have. Now, for someone to tell me that I cannot be confirmed after 6 months because they don't see me, they don't hear me, right? But my team is meeting the expectations.
That's
to get my point. So the culture that if there's a task, I don't show my direct report because I want to be the one to go present it and shine. You understand? So,
yes.
That are this behavior, which is why I don't like to pin it down to sexes, because it may just be the kind of company that you're working in, and it may also be that hey, you've been beaten before, someone did this to you before. So there are a lot of factors that play, but I try not to tie it to this particular thing, right? Even though the way we are wired as women, we tend to, we might react a certain way to these things, but it happens to everyone.
Okay, so thanks for that. You've actually touched exactly what I also feel, you know, is the reason for this. And so this brings me to the next question in the workplace as well, because you've worked in it extensively. and also for that emotional support. What do you think about having like counseling, you know, counseling sessions this time around, you know, intentional for leaders and also for people who work in organizations? Because, you know, people always feel that you have to separate your personal life from your professional life. But I believe that they're intertwined somehow. And so when you leave your house and you go through that traffic and get to work, you're really not leaving that personal, those personal challenges, you know. You also you need someone to be able to see and identify. So maybe a leader who's emotionally intelligent, or even the, you know, discovers that, okay, you know, I've observed this person and there might be something that's not very okay. You know, let's see if we can give that person counseling. Because, you know, people need help. Sometimes they don't realize they need help, but they do need help, you know, in the workplace as well, to balance both things so they can perform, you know, better. You know, so what do you think about that? Most organizations don't do that here in Nigeria. They don't even care, you know.
Because they don't know the value. And I think what opened my eyes to leadership, right, was my time doing an MBA program at the Africa Leadership University School of Business. Mm-hmm. Now, because the leadership MBA, one of the things I learned at that school is that leadership, there's a V3 model to leadership, right? Mm-hmm. There's vision, there's value, and there's virtue. So which means that as a leader, it is about you. It is not about the workplace. And I believe that so strongly. The people who have had the most impact in my life as my leaders are people who had these three virtues, who had these three complete three leadership components: value, vision, virtue.
And virtue.
If you are lost as a person, you can't be a leader. So the place of counseling helps you find yourself. Mm-hmm. It's very important. In my opinion, nobody has any business being in senior executive management leadership without these three, in my opinion. Because here's the thing, you're not expected to do the work. Exactly. You're not expected to focus on strategy and leading teams to achieve great results, great outcomes, feel good about themselves, drive change, drive growth, drive culture. Mm-hmm. You can't do that if you're focused on just operations and work. You have to focus on people. We don't embrace counseling a lot because, you know, there's also that thing around, oh, it's God factor. No, I think when I turned 40, I believe that I began to know, that's when I started knowing myself. I'm not gonna lie to you. Mm-hmm. I started knowing myself when I turned 40. I spent a lot of time in what I call the dark room. You know, when in photography you watch negative. Spent all my time in the dark room, and I took a step back to understand my style. And I came to the point that, because even in my days, you are accused, Debbie, you are too much of your past. People can predict you too much. You can react. You are very, but hey, that's who I am. And guess what? That person that I am is attracting certain people to me. Mm-hmm. Because they understand that. So if you tell me as an organization, I've had people that tell me, go and sack people, right? Mm-hmm. I will just go there and go sack people. I remember a job I took on, and my first task was to fire a manager. Mm-hmm. This was a manager that had worked for less than 6 months. Right?
6 months.
So because I have worked in, I've done, after CX, I moved into HR and training for a bit before coming back into customer experience. And I knew that, okay, in as much as I am passionate about, no, I hate firing people, I hate it, right? I had to find, but then it's a business, so decisions have to be made. But I had to find an objective way, devoid of my emotions and how I felt, to address the issue. So what I did was I asked HR, what's the policy when someone is doing poorly? Okay, they have performance improvement plan, they have all of that, there's appraisal. Yeah. Have appraisals been done? They said never been done. They just take bits and pieces of complaints to work with. Okay, so I met with the guy. I had to sit down with him, and I said, I make my report, look, yes, we'll fire him, but we need to follow the process, right? Mm-hmm. So we're not defined, these KPIs, job description, we're not properly defined. It's just a case of he should know what to do, right? So I took that. I spent my time to design his KPIs, job description, and I said, this is the period. It was in between a major, like halfway into customer cycle, like we will call it, right? Mm-hmm. And if you're going to replace an operations manager at that point, it will highly likely negatively impact the business. Mm-hmm. So I made a case for, yes, we will change him, but this is the critical whatever. That was one. And secondly, from a policy, HR policy perspective, we have to follow the policy. So now that we know there's a weakness, put him on an improvement plan.
Exactly.
I will work with the point around counseling. I would work with him. After then, I would make my recommendation. Because I was just new. Hey, you can't send me to do, you can't ask me to do something, you know? And it was approved. And after 3 months, the guy picked up. Started doing really well.
Yeah.
And on his own, he now resigned at some point and left. You know, so that counseling, it's not somebody's not doing well, sack the person. There are so many things as a leader that you should know. Is this even his area of strength?
Exactly.
As a leader, is he better at something or is she better at something else? You should
know. Absolutely.
If you don't know, then you're not a leader. You're a supervisor. You're a boss. There's a difference. If you want to carry the title, take the responsibility. You know. So that's my view. Counseling, I would absolutely 100% encourage it. Coaching in the workplace, I would absolutely, and it doesn't have to be the boss. If as a boss, you know somebody who is struggling in an area that you have no competency in, but you know people within the company, like, please, can you assist me? Just hang out with this guy or this thing, find out what's working. I want to get into it, like what's going on, right? Yeah. Sometimes you actually should throw the work out the window.
And just focus on the person. I totally agree.
I get calls from people that have worked with me till this day, just about, Debbie, we can't forget you. And it's not because I'm such an amazing person. It's because I've been exposed to different types of leadership, and I identified what I wanted in line with the kind of person that I am. Don't forget my background growing up, right?
Mm-hmm,
so,
mm-hmm.
So all these things come, all these things add up. They add up.
Yeah.
Even when you say, they're such a bad leader, go check, why is the person a bad leader?
There's always a reason, you know? Yeah. And I really like what you've shared, because, you know, I'm so big on leadership, and I know, I understand that, you know, that people, I mean, my mentor, John Maxwell, you know, says that people buy into the leader before they buy into the vision, really. So if you are a leader and people cannot buy into you, there's no way they'll buy into your vision. I mean, there's no way, you know. So as a leader, we must be leader equipped. We must build ourselves up as leaders to be able to lead effectively and to lead empowered people, to lead people to dream. And it also goes beyond just the work. The person doing the work is a human being, and you have to find ways of building that person up, you know, even if it means going personal to an extent. And I like what you said, if you're a leader and you feel that you're not equipped to be able to counsel someone, but you believe that this person does need this intervention, then it's important to channel it through the right, channels. Yes, I mean, I've done that with a lot of people before in my leadership roles, and I've seen the improvement. I'm equipped to counsel and even coach, you know, and I've seen the improvement, and not just in their work life, but also in their personal lives as well, you know. So I think that this is the topic that we will go into seriously, you know, for organizations, but I think it's very needed. Okay.
Culture is built on that. If you ask me, you can find your culture. You want to be, forgive me, my space is here. So you want to drive a customer-centric culture, like we call it. If your leadership sucks, I'm curious.
Yeah.
If your leadership is a bag of issues and self-esteem issues and power drunk issues, I'm sorry. You have to get your leadership team together.
Exactly.
That's the culture.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Well, we're going to. I'm happy you're the forerunner in this revolution. Yeah. I call it a revolution, and we're definitely behind you in this one.
Mm-hmm.
So on. So we're chatting you on, and we're right behind you.
Yes.
Okay, yes. Okay, so Debbie, how's it been this pandemic season for you? I mean, we're in a lockdown. I mean, how has it been? You know, have you been able to manage your daughter, yourself, your close space?
Yeah.
You know, how has it been?
It's been a bit of a roller coaster, if you ask me. I've basically just been taking it one day at a time. So somewhere in my head, you know, I'm now an entrepreneur, so I've been doing this for 2 years, and literally no work, no pay. So I'm also thinking, hey, we have to get money in. There has to be food on the table. You know, we can't do this, we can't do that. And I'm trying to distance myself from thinking about what can I do to make money, and also try to figure out I need to be calm, to spend a lot of time praying and figuring out what's the blueprint for my business for the next season. So I've just been in between those two weeks. I have the days I'm like, you know what, let me just rest and watch movies. And then I'm watching movies and I'm like, okay, should I be watching movies or working? You know, and so all that tension. I have the days where I'm in control. I have the days when I'm not in control. I'm just a mess and I just eat because my kitchen isn't far away from
Tell
the living room.
Tell me about it.
And then some days I'm like, okay, strategy, this is it, you know. So it's, I think for me, I've just taken it one day at a time.
Okay.
I've spent not as much time as I would like praying, but you know, it's been interesting. It's been interesting reading a lot of materials. I've had to streamline on what I read because focusing on the negative news the whole time, I think that also started to affect me. When I focus on, oh, number of cases has gone up, oh, this is happening, oh, they're doing this, they're doing that. You know? And that also started to affect me as well because I'm not reading any more news about COVID. Maybe once in 2-3, I just go catch up what's going on and that's
what's going on. And you pick the sources as well.
Exactly. So a lot of webinars going on, thought leadership, leaders sharing their thoughts and all of that. So I just, you know, pick and choose what I surround myself with. And in my area, I'm like, what do businesses, how can I help? Even though I have to stay in my home, how can I help? So I think in trying to create content to help businesses retain customers, that has also helped me find some peace. And some calm. So, you know, we recorded the session with you as well. Like, those things just get me going before I know, oh, time is off, you know, and time is gone and all of that. So, it's been interesting. One day at a time, one task at a time, one meal at a time.
Well, I mean, that's the way to think about that at a time. And then when you look back at the end of the day, you're saying, okay, you know, okay, I achieved this today. You know, I achieved the recording, I achieved the training, I achieved reading, I also achieved watching TV, you know, because sometimes, you know, that realization is so key. Just getting away from it all.
Yeah.
I mean, I like how you're saying take one day at a time and you're doing different things, which is very important. But one very important thing is you're being careful about where you're getting your source of information. Negativity has a way of just distorting your center.
Yeah.
You know, and it's very important to be careful what you let in. You know, be sure you let in what's right. And I understand where you're coming from, the praying part as well. Sometimes, you're like, okay, I'm just going to wake up every day. Okay, maybe I don't pray as much. I mean, sometimes you feel guilty, you know, but...
Yeah.
You just...
Very guilty.
Yeah. Okay.
So and then comes... you just feel guilty and you whisper a line or two. And like, oh,
exactly.
Okay.
You just whisper a line or two and then move on. So... I mean, there are also people who have even lost track of the days of the week. I mean, I know my sister is like, okay, what is it? You know, it's crazy, but, you know, we'll all go through this.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, so we've almost come to the end of the session, right? And Debbie, you've been listening to your journey that you've shared, which I say thank you again for sharing, because it's not so easy to share. I mean, you've had to go back in time at all, and you've come out as a really positive human being, right? You're imparting, you know, the small businesses and businesses in terms of, you know, improving their customer service culture in their businesses. You're imparting women, you're helping, you know, you have an NGO, you have a daughter as well, which I mean, you can't do this and do this successfully if you are not a positive person. So you have maintained a positive mindset regardless of your setbacks. And that's one of the things that this show is all about. You know, inspirational women who have been through, you know, and who are coming out on top and saying, you know what, yes, I've been through that, but it's not going to make me bitter. It's going to make me even more beautiful and better, so that I can make the world a beautiful place, and this is one of the things that we're about. And so I want to ask you to share what five things you would like to share to women, you know, to maintain that positive mindset, because everybody has a story, everybody has a past, everybody has a present, which is still like even really still be crazy and tough, you know. What are the five things you would tell them, you know, to maintain a positive mindset?
I think the first thing is to maintain a positive mindset is we have to be positive, right? That's the first thing. And to be positive, you have to have something tangible that you are proud of, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's one thing that has really kept me going. So what is that one thing about you that you are proud of? And then two things, how can you share that with the world? The second thing is, which is very key, is that how can you share that for a remuneration, because in the end, or a fee, because in the end, you're whether you're an entrepreneur like myself or you work in an organization, you're adding to add value. You're helping people, right? Or this is what you get paid to do, right? Yeah. So, and another thing about people, you have to do something. You can't want to be positive and not do anything.
Yeah,
I don't know how that works. I really don't know how that works. One, if you want to have a positive mindset, what are you positive about? Is it what you do? Is it what you have to offer? Is it the value you bring to the table? You get my meaning. So you have to be positive. To stay positive, number one, you have to just be positive. Positive even about yourself. Oh, I am Debbie. You are an advocate for this. I'm amazing. I can do anything I set my mind to do. I am just the best thing since sliced bread. Positive about first, right? And then what else? Positive about what you can do. So that is what value you bring to the table. Mm-hmm. I mean, I always say this. I have friends who probably talk about, we'll be dating guys. I'm like, what value do you bring to the table? You can't just sit pretty morning. It's good to look. I mean, it's great, pretty, look pretty, but you have to make sense. So what content are you bringing? And I'm not talking about being, there's something that I used to say when I used to go for interviews back in the day. I'm not the kind of person that has no a bit about politics, football, economics, finance. Like, it's not my thing, right? But there was something I used to say in job interviews. I remember I said this at a tea seller when they asked me, I said, I may not know about, but you don't know about telecoms. Why do you want to move from banking to telecoms at a manager level? And I said, here's the thing. I may not be an intelligent person. I can't tell you that I know anything about telecoms, but I'm smart. Yeah. When I say I'm smart, I mean I'm smart. If I need this to get it done, trust me, I would die there till I get it and the job is done. And there were people on my panel were just smiling. So I knew that was my competitive advantage. What's your competitive advantage? Very important. So for you to be positive, stay positive, be positive, have the competitive advantage. What value do you bring to the table, right? Mm-hmm. Another thing I would say is to be positive, don't feel bad about your flaws. Don't ever. Now, even for me, I tell myself this thing every day. Don't feel like because I don't feel bad. Sometimes I really do feel bad about my flaws. I actually do. But I'm like, you know what? I will make it work. I will make it work. Honestly.
You don't have to make it work.
I will make it work. So your flaws are flaws for a reason, right? Your flaws are flaws for a reason. And if you focus too much on your flaws, it now becomes very obvious to everybody else.
Yes.
But if you own your in owning your flaws and making it work, guess what you're doing? You're masking those flaws. So people don't see them at all. What else I would say about being positive is just know the, what drives you as a person. What's your purpose? Purpose for me is, in fact, that should have been number one on my list. Now, purpose is complicated. You have to hear a voice from heaven that says, "Go ye." That's your purpose, right? But your purpose is living everyday life beyond yourself. That means different things to different.
Yeah.
It means so there's no special time where you know your purpose. No. Your purpose today, if today I walk out, like I'll give an example. The guy who does my hair comes to my house to do my hair. His name is Tony, right?
Yeah.
And I sent out a broadcast 2 days ago and he responded yesterday. So thank you, ma, for the message. And I remember he just has a salon, which is one room near my house here. Mm-hmm. So it's shut down. That's his daily bread. I know that's his daily bread. Nobody's doing hair. I said, Tony, how are you managing? I says, auntie, and he says, you know, auntie, man, of your boy is hungry, yo, and everything. And I'm like, I just sent him money. It wasn't a lot of money. I just sent him, I mean, I also have to manage what I have, but
yeah.
I sent him, how bad can my case be compared to his, right? So I sent him some money. And then this morning, he sent me a message again to say, auntie, thank you so much for yesterday. That, for me, is my purpose at that time. That's
that
where
time.
I'm going. Doesn't have to like be that. Anything. No, but guess what? If tomorrow I have the capacity to help 5,000 people, I will now probably tell you, "Oh, that's my purpose." No, I have started giving because I am. God has put a lot of compassion in me, and I use that compassion to relate to people and help people. If I can't help you, I will find somebody that can and help you within my capacity.
Yeah,
that is purpose.
Yes.
If I drive, do you get my meaning? So purpose is, what does your heart, what's your heart for you to do right now? Do it and move on. It's not complicated, honestly. I think we just
complicated things, right?
Yeah. I mean, think about your journey.
People.
Yeah, think about your journey, Ivy, and what you're doing now. Think back at how you have probably the lady who looks after your child or somebody. You've been doing this thing. Didn't just happen today. You didn't just come up with this idea today. You've been doing it. So now it's going to look like, oh, her purpose is, it's always been there.
Always been
right?
There.
Be positive, add value, what value you bring to the table. And then, don't own your flaws, right? Own your flaws. Your purpose is very important. Focus on that big picture. Focus on that. And my fourth thing is just relax. Life is not that hard. Life is hard enough. Just relax. Just rest.
Oh my God. Exactly.
Life
just
is hard enough. Yes, like we say, you can't come and go and die. Just rest.
Oh my God.
We put so much pressure on ourselves, and it's understandable. The times, especially the times we're in, you know.
Yeah.
Guess what? There will be light at the end of the tunnel. The sun will shine. It will soon be morning.
Definitely.
Everything, whatever comes, it's fine. We will all have capacity to handle.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Yeah. That's what I would say about being positive. And it's not something that you just hear once. Something that even I tell myself. We were talking about earlier. Some days we're down, right? We're talking about this before we started.
Exactly.
Happens
to the best of us.
But hey,
happens to the best of us. Honestly, happens to the best of us. Even me, that's always smiling. Happens to the best of us. Oh my God, Debbie's been amazing. I mean, you've shared some really amazing tips here. I mean, I love the fact that you said, you know, just embrace your flaws. You know, that's one thing a lot of women don't do. You know, I never used to like my forehead, you know, and then someone just said to me one day, "Look, man, you're never going to go to change this forehead, so you better just start loving it."
Start
loving it. Like, I saw it as my flaw on my face. But now, like, I can push my hair to the back, pack my hair, and I'm like, baby, you're beautiful. But before, I wouldn't feel this way. You know, and that's one of the ways to maintain, you know, your positive. Just embrace your flaws, love you for who you are, you know, pursue purpose, and and be positive, you know your value, know what you bring to the table, and that's really amazing.
And have content. Having content is very important. Having content.
You mentioned that, yes. And see how you can also translate your value into money, because that's another thing that's so important, because whatever is inside you is what you can bring out, and you can make some money out of it, really. Word, Debbie, has been amazing having you on the show, and I mean, I wish we could go on and on and on. I mean, there's so much, you know, but you know, all good things have to come to an end, you know, that's what Debbie said, to start again another day.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Debbie. So ladies and gentlemen, because I mean, I have men also listening to my show, so ladies and gentlemen, you've heard Debbie, and that's an amazing one of the things I always say is that, you know, get a pen and paper, there's some real serious nuggets that League of Inspirational Women, you know, share, and sometimes you can actually take it back and, you know, apply it to your life. During this COVID-19, like she said, it's so important for us to show compassion to people out there who are less privileged than we are. You know, yesterday, 2 days ago, I actually went out to buy some stuff, and I didn't want to go alone because of all the craziness out there, right? You know, so I took one of my security guards, guards with us, and with me to go buy stuff. And you know, I love to engage people. So I was engaging him. So how are you managing? What do you eat? This. And he says, oh my God, it's hard, oh, it's so hard. Indomie that used to be 170 is now 200 or 250, it's gone up, you know? And so what I did was that as I was buying for myself, I bought for them, and I also gave them some money. And they were so grateful. When I got back, you know, there's another security at the gate. I gave him, you know, just like 1,000, because that's what I mean, had bought everything. So I just gave him 1,000 naira. And the guy was beside himself, you know. And and I said, okay, you know what? I told the Jerry, who's our security guy, I said, you know what? Share this with him as well. Does he cook there? He said, yes, okay. Share some of this indomie with him, you know, so that he would also have. And you know, you could see the joy, because they're also hungry. So you know, just, you know, there's this saying that says that it goes that charity starts at home. It starts at home doesn't necessarily mean in your house. It starts with the people that are around you. You know, so let's show some love out there this season. So even the next person outside, just we can't do it for everyone. You know, but let's show some love and let's be positive. And let's also love ourselves. Love yourself. Love yourself. Oh wow! So thank you, Debbie. Thank you so much. And thanks, everyone. Stay safe and God bless. Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.